SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to the best 2 hours in sports radio.
How are the two best hosts on Grid Radio?
Moneyline with Donnie Wrightside.
Mustache glasses and a bacon, egg, and cheese. You know what? I just keep moving.
Kevin Walsh.
No, it's not a bad take. You're in outer space right now.
And the dream team of callers.
Right. I hope you guys checked the tape right. That was the 5-0 Vegas.
Bring it.
Astros, Rangers, Astros over.
Smoke.
Check
all
the
smoke.
Tape.
Yep. Easy, too. It's easy. It feels good.
It was, wasn't it? Man.
And listen to you guys also with all that great information you gave out on players' props. So it's going to be a fun night tonight.
I just honestly became a huge Sports Grid fan and over the last year, and I found you in K-Dub's show, man, and I have been addicted.
And let me give a shout-out to my man, JP, holding it down behind the scenes.
There it is.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159.
Tuesday afternoon, solo mission radio on the grid. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Money Line. It's time to get down. It's Major League Baseball season, and today a massive card. 15 games. We're going to hit every single one of those 15 games. Now, as you start to wind into the summer, like we're in late June, 6:27 today. Only a few more days left of July. July 1st is Saturday. Sunday's the 2nd, the 3rd. Monday, the 4th of July, on Tuesday. Got a day off Tuesday. Oh, boy! Your boy DRS has a day off. How exciting is that going to be? But having said that, we will talk a lot of Major League Baseball today. We're in a cooling off period right now, right? You had the NBA draft last week. Free agency, a few days away still in the NBA. Trade season in the NBA is going to get all fired up. We're going to have a great time with that once it hits. Same thing with the NFL. We're in a holding pattern right now. We're through everything. OTAs, it's that quiet period before teams report to training camp, and that will be with the Baltimore Ravens on July 11th, where rookies report. I believe that's the first team where anybody is reporting. And away we go over the following week after that 11th. Just about everybody's going to be in camp full blast and ready to go. It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait for it. So there are a few topics out here that I do want to get out of the way before we hit this Major League Baseball card in full. Yesterday, a little bit disappointing. I actually finished up $5 yesterday, if we included all the wagers that I put on Twitter. You never get mad at plus money, but boy, oh boy, did those New York Mets let us down. And we'll talk about them a little bit later. Certainly one of the more disappointing teams in Major League Baseball. Thought I had threaded the needle on that game with my same game parlay, but came back with Ugats. I didn't get anything out of that game, as the Mets actually lost. But that's neither here nor there. Today, this morning, or should I say this morning, Joe Ranieri and I on the early line, right here on the Sports Grid Network, we're firing away on some NFL teams, doing deep dives, because again, we're getting closer to football season. Team here, team there, a few a week. Next thing you know, we're already into August and ripping and roaring and getting ready for the season to start. But we have the Buffalo Bills up today. And we're going to go into the Bills in a little bit of depth, but I wanted to start the conversation off of what we've been seeing out of Stephon Diggs. Robert Griffin III, I guess maybe through a podcast or ESPN or whoever, says the Bills' star receiver might have a problem with Josh Allen. Now, what does might mean at that point? Does he know for sure? And if he does, what's the deal here? Is it true? Is it not true? All the drama that Stephon Diggs and the Buffalo Bills went through just about a week and a half ago. Is he there? Is he not there? Does he want to play? Does he not? What's the issue here? And it turns out that the issue hopefully is resolved between Diggs and Josh Allen. And this is what doesn't make any sense to me at this point. I understand we are competitive in our field in the NFL, right? Teammates don't always have to get along. Maybe they're just too different off the field. But we did see Stephon Diggs. Was it at the end of the Buffalo Bills game against Cincinnati where they just couldn't get anything going? You saw Diggs running around on the bench sidelines there, like seemingly mouthing off to Josh Allen. We don't know what he was saying, but hands up the whole time. Don't know what it was. But, you know, in the heat of the moment, guys are going to scream and yell at each other. That's just the way it is in sports. But what could Stephon Diggs actually be upset with or be mad at Josh Allen for? I don't know. 5 years Stephon Diggs played in Minnesota. Best year was his last year. 1,130 yards and 6 receiving touchdowns. He was going to be a star in the making. You saw it coming. Back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Then he went to Buffalo. In 2020, hit a career-high 127 receptions on a career-high 166 targets. A career-high 1,535 yards and 8 touchdowns. 2021 with the Buffalo Bills. 164 targets, 103 catches, 1,225 yards, and a career high at the time, 10 touchdowns. 2022, which was last year, 154 targets, 108 catches, 1,429 yards, and 11 touchdown catches, a career high. What could you be upset with at this point here? Why would you be upset with Josh Allen? All he does is get you the football. And as a wide receiver, knowing your quarterback can make every single throw and is always looking for you, I don't want to know what the argument is. So when I take a look at the Buffalo Bills on this season, I like what they have. I do think they're talented. I like their front four. I'm going to get into it a little bit more after the break. But is this one of those things that would scare you away from a team total, an AFC championship bet, a Super Bowl wager on the Buffalo Bills? Could it implode on them? My goodness, how do we even get to this point? We'll talk Buffalo Bills and much, much more today. It's Moneyline on a Tuesday afternoon, and I'm Donnie Wrightside.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tuesday afternoon on the grid. It's Moneyline. Donnie Wrightside here, SiriusXM Channel 159. If you want to get through, you got a hot take here. Maybe it is a football take. It's never too early for football season. 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879 are the numbers to call through. Massive Major League Baseball card. We're going to do a lot of damage with that in just a few moments. But I did want to still continue here with the Buffalo Bills and the thought process, because I teased before the break, what do you make of the Buffalo Bills? I like the Bills. Overall, really good football team. There's no question about that. You got talent up front. If Von Miller comes back, him and Gregory Rousseau collapsing that pocket from the outside, Jones and Oliver in the middle, that's a really good front four. Secondary decent. Linebackers, okay. Lost some guys. Look, it's granted. It's the NFL. It's what happens. Gabe Davis, number two at wide receiver. Stephon Diggs at a number one. You got a couple good tight ends now. You made a nice draft pick there. Cook, I don't know if he's going to be that number one running back, as he calls himself. James Cook, an upgrade might be Dalvin Cook if he heads the Bills, but we don't know if that's happening. So let's just say this roster is set for the season. I still like it, but what are we getting out of Stephon Diggs? Are we getting full go Stephon Diggs? Like, what does that mean? Is he going to be upset? Does he want to trade? Like, what does he want? How could he be that upset throughout the offseason? He gets a lot of money and a lot of work. That's what wide receivers want, right? They want the football and they want the paycheck. He's got them both there. And a good football team in Buffalo. Now, Brian Daboll's not there anymore. Leslie Frazier's not there anymore as defensive coordinator. So a little bit of, you know, growing pains possibly. But Ken Dorsey was there last year, still got him the football. That was fine. But as we look throughout the AFC East, the Bills are the favorite. FanDuel, plus 130 for the Bills. Jets, plus 250. Miami Dolphins, plus 290. And the New England Patriots at a plus 750 price. It's always interesting to me to see that plus 750 price on the Patriots not to win the Super Bowl. That's just for the division. I haven't seen that in a long time, right? Pre-Bill Belichick days, it feels like. But the Buffalo Bills' schedule, odd, man. At the Jets opening day, that's a tough game, man. That's Aaron Rodgers' first game at home in the Meadowlands. That place is going to be rocking. Now, you do get the Raiders in game number two. You should win. The Commanders in game number three on the road. But it is a road game. Still should be able to win that. Then you get the Dolphins at home, followed by you lose a home game by playing the Jaguars over in London. Then you come back home and play the New York Giants after that. at the Patriots, Buccaneers, Bengals. But as I brought up today with Joe Ranieri, the back end of that schedule for the Buffalo Bills is going to be hell on wheels. It honestly is. At the Eagles, at the Chiefs, home to the Cowboys, at the Chargers, then you got the Patriots, still a division rival, and then at the Miami Dolphins. You're looking at maybe, on paper, the best team in the NFC, maybe on paper, the best team in the AFC, back-to-back with the Chiefs. The second-best team closing in on the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC East is the Cowboys. You get them right in a row. The Chargers on the road, an ultra-talented team. Kellen Moore now going to be calling the plays there with Justin Herbert. Then, as we said again, you get the Patriots late in the season, and then you go to play the Miami Dolphins down in Miami. Last game of the year, which is kind of interesting. Usually the NFL sets that up. Where you get the Miami Dolphins. Where's the other Dolphins game here? There we go. Week 3 at home. It's usually role reversal. Typically the Bills play early in the season down in Miami and late in the season up in Buffalo. It's almost like the NFL likes both ends of the spectrum, right? You get that super hot weather early in the season, which is usually an advantage for the Miami Dolphins at Hard Rock. And then you get the freezing cold for the Buffalo Bills late in the season, which, you know, Miami doesn't like to come up and play in that. But it's a role reversal this year. Home against the Dolphins early, away against the Dolphins late. Now, if you probably ask the Buffalo Bills, like, heck yeah, man. I like that better. January 7th in Buffalo, do you want to play? Or January 7th in Miami, do you want to play? But last year, the Buffalo Bills, 13-3. How the heck were they 13-3? It's a 17-game schedule. You know what the drill was last year. A lot of oddities took place there in that game with DeMar Hamlin, which the Buffalo Bills were going to get beat in that football game. Don't get me wrong. They were getting beat in that game. But that game technically never happened. But the Buffalo Bills, by far, the best team in that division. 13-3, Dolphins 9-8, New England Patriots 8-9, New York Jets 7-10 last year. But the Bills are a plus 130 price to win that division. As I said, I like the Bills. I still think they're the best team in the division because why? They have the least amount of question marks. But that question mark that might be slipping in right now, is Stephon Diggs going to be happy and playing to his capabilities this year? That would be one of the questions that comes back. Win total on the Buffalo Bills this season. It doesn't seem like a lot. Like, they won 13 games last year, only played in 16. So in 13-3, winning percentage of 81%. This year, it's down to 10.5. Now, it is juiced to the over, which means 11 wins is what you need to cash that ticket in at a minus 134 price. It's hard to take really good football teams under the total because the Philadelphia Eagles are sitting at that same type of total. I believe the Eagles are 11.5. But the Bills only being 10.5, it's not to say they're not a good football team. And Josh Allen, who actually is tied right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win NFL MVP, with two other players right now, one of those being Patrick Mahomes. But that shows you the respect of that schedule that we just talked about. They better get out hot. I don't particularly know what hot would mean. Let's just say you go to the Jets. Let's just say you lose to the Jets on the road week one. And by the way, we do have odds up on that week one game here. Let's see where they sit in here. That game is going to be played, is that September 11th at the Jets, emotional day, -1.5 Buffalo Bills. I mean, that's not like you're looking at that as an automatic win for the Buffalo Bills there on that opening Monday night. That should be a good one. Total listed at 47. You know they're going to have a lot of tributes being September 11th in New York. That's going to be an emotional day. For the New York Jets fans, you know you're going to see the NYPD hats, NYFD hats, fire department. Yeah, they're going to be out and about, and rightfully so. That's going to be a big-time game on Monday Night Football. Should beat the Raiders, should beat the Commanders, should beat the Dolphins at home, probably should beat the Jags in a neutral environment, should beat the Giants at home, should beat the Patriots on the road, should beat the Buccaneers. See where I'm going with this? Legitimate chance that, let's just say they lose game one, 0-1. 1-1 versus the Raiders, 2-1 versus the Commanders, 3-1 versus the Dolphins, 4-1 versus the Jaguars, 5-1 against the Giants, 6-1 against the Patriots, 7-1 against the Buccaneers. You get out that hot, you might be able to coast in, but we know it's the NFL. It doesn't work paint by numbers. Just look at the schedule. Who's the better team? Because then you're going, here we go. At the Bengals. Then you play the Broncos. Then you play the Jets. Eagles, Chiefs, Cowboys, Chargers, Patriots, Dolphins on the way out. You better get out to that hot start. If Buffalo stumbles out of the gate, is there a chance they miss the playoffs? Now, I know we're going down a rabbit hole here. It's a good football team. But I'm just saying, you can't afford to say, hey, we lost to the Jets, beat the Raiders, lost to the Commanders on the road, the Dolphins upset us at home, and the Jaguars beat us in London. I mean, hey, it's the NFL. Stuff like that certainly could happen. Not to say it's going to. And by the way, it's all AFC in the MVP race, too, by the way, and all quarterbacks. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, all 7-1. Justin Herbert at a 9-1 price. So something to keep an eye out for there. But the Buffalo Bills, again, just in the crosshairs where this is a team that we expected, or should I say also I expected, to take that leap at least over the past 2 years. Thought they were the best team in the AFC. They let that one slip this year. They really did. Last year's Buffalo Bills team, if they should have stayed healthy and played good football, they should have wound up in the Super Bowl against the Philadelphia Eagles. As I stare at my Josh Allen jersey in a frame on the wall. We'll see what he's got this year. He's got 3 straight years of 35-plus touchdown passes. And you expect that probably to continue as long as he does stay healthy. Interesting times on the Buffalo Bills. We're going to see what happens. But let's review what happened yesterday on My Bets here on Monday night. Come on, Mets! I'll be right back down your right side right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here, hour number one in full effect. Moneyline Tuesday afternoon edition, right here on the grid, SiriusXM channel 159. Call lines open, 844-843-6879. By the way, sometimes, you know me, I love Twitter here. My guy Guppy Money tweeting in here. Yeah, worried about the Buffalo Bills. No doubt about it at this point. But also, talking baseball account here. How about this? Alek Manoah, in his first rookie ball start today, against the Florida Complex League Yankees. Think about that. Think about that saying here. Alek Manoah, one of the better young pitchers in baseball just a year ago here, gets a start in rookie ball. Do you know what that means? The baseball players that barely got drafted are just hanging on, learning how to be professionals, and probably won't be playing baseball for much longer. That's rookie ball for the most part at this point in the summer. Because you got what? You know, Appalachian League, single A, double A, triple A, high A, low, all that good stuff. We're talking rookie ball. For kids that they're probably getting drafted because they run fast or they have one tool that you might get something out of. Alek Manoah's first start there, 2 2/3 innings pitched, 11 earned runs, 10 hits, 2 home runs, 3 Ks, and 2 walks. What? That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. He gave up 11 earned runs in under 3 innings in rookie ball. Rookie instructional baseball. Not against the best players who are just waiting to get to single and double A. Against the Yankees complex team. Like, is that like the Bat Boys? Unbelievable to see that. What a downturn for that guy. And it's kind of funny because we haven't heard anything since he did get sent down, but he didn't even like go back to AAA as we talked about. Double A or single A. He went to instructional league like he doesn't even understand how to throw a pitch anymore. And maybe rightfully so with those numbers that were just turned out right there. That's embarrassing. Really is. All right, let's take a look at some of the bets that we made last night. Where we went right, where we went wrong, how to apply it today. Because there's 15 games on the card. I got a couple bets already fired away, which include a same game parlay. I bet the same game parlay is usually before 5 a.m. They got to be right, ready, and rocking by the time we take the air for the early line at 7 a.m. So they get fired in very early in the day. And I like that, too, because there's no second guessing. You find a game, you find a couple things you like, you fire away, and you let it simmer for the rest of the day. Sometimes you get a much better number. Sometimes it doesn't move. Maybe a bit it gets in a worse position for you there. But it's always fun to sort of say, you know what? Not to second guess it. It's got to be locked in. It's got to be loaded. And also betting your own money on that stuff. So many people just throw, let's have some fun and put this out there. You guys know me. It's not a ton of money. I put a couple $100 in play every night. But you know what I'm on. Cheer it on. Fade it. See what I'm on. Back it. Tail it. Have some fun. We've been doing very well. The gambling account certainly is a positive right now. But taking a look yesterday, Orioles and the Reds. I thought we would get a lot of runs. We did. We got 13. I thought the Reds would do a little bit more damage in this game. They didn't. But the great part about sometimes where the RBI props itself, like I told you on the night, won like $5. It's better than losing anything. Trust me. I'll take that. Thought I should have had a better night, but I misfired on a couple things. But the things I didn't misfire on, and I talked about it yesterday, all these sports books, whether it be FanDuel, DraftKings, Bet365, Caesars. I don't really use Caesars all that much anymore. I use like William Hill. I use them a lot in the past couple years. But I'm just finding myself where I don't even check them out because I don't think the odds are as good as the other books. Like RBI prop-wise, Bet365 is awesome. You know, FanDuel will be around it. DraftKings would be around it. Every once in a while, they might have a slightly better number. But you're usually getting, what, 15, 20, 30, 40 cents difference if you can use Bet365. Now, they don't let you parlay a lot of things, but even in a couple of those bets I made over the weekend where I was just going with more than one RBI on a couple players, there was like a $2 difference on some of those bets. Pretty incredible. So always make sure you shop around, get the best prices available here, but I just find myself typically at Bet365. But Bet365 doesn't do a lot of what FanDuel and DraftKings does, where they give you those profit boosts. Usually a couple times a week, you get a couple 25% profit boosts, sometimes 100% profit boost, maybe a 50% profit boost. Well, yesterday, the two RBI shots that we actually won on the card were both of the boosted wagers, and that's always nice. The 1-2 punch with the Baltimore Orioles yesterday, both came in. That was Austin Hayes to record an RBI, boosted from plus 140 to plus 175 at DraftKings, so that cashed in. That was awesome. The other bet that we made was Adley Rutschman, Baltimore Orioles. This was a 50% profit boost, boosted from a plus 165 to a 248, and that one did hit. So that's when they work out well. But I went for some pretty good odds here on Bet365 on a couple of players to get RBI with the Cincinnati Reds. Kevin Newman to record an RBI, plus 210 price. Matt McClain, a plus 170 price. Neither one of those guys cashed in. I thought they would have a legitimate chance, you know, stacking the top of the order. I did it on both sides. So for the game itself, it was profitable. You're never going to get upset by hitting a plus 175 and also a plus 248 in one game. So you split those, went 2-2 in the Reds game. Fantastic, perfect. I will take that every single time. But I'll tell you one that I really missed on yesterday. Texas Rangers, Josh Jung, plus 160 price to get an RBI against the Detroit Tigers. And the Tigers were a mess right from the beginning of the game. I believe, I don't see it exactly, but I don't think Vest opened yesterday. Sometimes he does with the Tigers. I didn't see the opening, but I'm going to assume that, I guess, Boyd came in, got injured right away after getting up a solo shot to start the game against Marcus Semien, and then Vest came in behind him. And the bullpen held it down all the way through. And these are the sometimes when you laugh at, because I just talked about two winners that I had, which were great. Josh Jung had 4 at-bats yesterday, people. He went 0 for 4, which happens. But he got the golden sombrero. And if anybody doesn't know what that is, that's 4 strikeouts. He came up to the plate 4 times, struck out every time at the plate. That's unbelievable. I mean, come on, man. Put the ball in play. Rangers struck out 16 times yesterday. They had Josh Jung, who struck out 4 times, which is every one of his plate appearances. Mitch Garver, the DH, got up 3 times, or excuse me, 4 times. He struck out 3 of those 4 times. Leody Tavares, who's been batting very well over the past couple weeks, 293 on the season. Now, why? He went 0-for-4 with 3 Ks in that game. Every single player in that Texas lineup struck at least one time yesterday. I don't know what they were doing at all. Sandwiched in between two solo home runs, one by Adolis Garcia and one by Marcus Semien to start that game. So that wasn't really firing. But the game that really got on my nerves, because sometimes you like to flex a little bit, right? My same game parlay, the FanDuel Sportsbook that we used on the early line, was with the New York Mets and Francisco Lindor to record an RBI. I said to myself, man, what an awful loss to the Philadelphia Phillies. I expect a good start out of Justin Verlander once he gets on the mound to be that stopper. Now, he wasn't all there because he threw a lot of pitches. Only got through 5 innings at 100 pitches, but didn't give up an earned run. Scattered 5 hits and 2 walks over those 5 innings and backed it up with 5 strikeouts. The only problem is the Milwaukee Brewers' Colin Ray was dominant. 6 1/3, 1 earned run. But the 1 earned run was from Francisco Lindor, who's now hitting .223 on the season, who had a sacrifice and drove a run in. I said, oh my goodness, look at this. Tell me this game in Queens is going to end up 1-0 where Francisco Lindor got the only RBI. You should get like a profit boost of 500% for doing that. The only run in the game was your guy with an RBI, which is Francisco Lindor. My goodness. 53rd RBI on the season for him, by the way. But as you go down some of the stats, like even take a look at the game, right? The Mets had 3 hits. You know I don't like the Brewers offense. I think it stinks. But to lose 2-1 because Joey Weimer hit a home run, who went 2-for-4 last night to improve his batting average to .214 on the season. He's the 9-hole guy. He's basically a pitcher out there hitting. And he had a 2-run shot with 2 outs. Ridiculous. But as you see the left on base for the Brewers, there's 11 of them. They had traffic. Do you know their runners in scoring position number yesterday of what the Brewers went? I'll give you a hint here. Yelich 0-for-1. Winker 0-for-2. Weimer 0-for-2. But keep in mind, Weimer hit the home run, but the guy was on first base. Willy Adames 0-for-2. William Contreras 0-for-1. Owen Miller 0-for-2. Rowdy Tellez 0-for-1. Yeah, that's 0-for-11. So I bet a game with the New York Mets where Lindor got an RBI. And if you would have told me before the game, the Brewers are going to go 0-for-11 with runners in scoring position, that's a dub. It's easy dub. Easy. That's over. Mets smack them. Beat them down. Easy win. I cashed that plus 205. It didn't happen yesterday. And that was supremely frustrating here. So today's same game parlay, we're going out to the Rocky Mountain region tonight in Colorado for a couple RBI props and shots there. We're going to get started up next in the next segment. We got 15 games. I want to take my time and go over these. I got my pen and paper ready here. Got a couple bets in, and you know I'm looking to fire a few more as well as we go along. It's Tuesday afternoon on the grid with Donnie Wrightside, and I'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
No flipping coins, people. That's the moral of the story. Put in that hard work. Put those wagers out here. Share them with the people. Wins, losses, grief, and triumph all together. And by the way, one of my TVs here, I do have up the NFL Network. I'm watching that Rams-Cowboys playoff game from a couple of years ago. Oh, my God. Football can't start soon enough. How do we operate outside of football season, by the way? Exactly what we're doing today. When I always talk about, like, the job that I have, even, like, with, like, solo missions, like, I don't mind doing them. It's fun. I get to get my point across, talk to the people, you know, set the agenda. But it's baseball season. If you want to give me 15 games, we can do a whole 2 hours just on those 15 games alone. But I do like to talk hot topics and, you know, get some thoughts out there and some hot takes off that we can do. But my goodness, like, we really earn our money at this time of the year. Because even though when, let's just say football ends after the Super Bowl, right? There's still some football topics. But then you're starting that, okay, February, which turns into March Madness, which turns into the NBA playoffs, which turns into the start of the Major League Baseball season. They all converge. But now we're at the point where it's just Major League Baseball. And thank God, I love Major League Baseball, and I love to bet it even more. Because that's what keeps the needle going. If my, like, true passion was, like, I don't know, the NHL, like, what would I be doing? I certainly wouldn't have, you know, talking on a show by myself for a few hours on national radio. That's for sure. But when I look at, like, football season, like, when it gets going, like, let's just say football season itself, right? Let's say, because I always equate it to the NFL. Now, granted, like, week zero in college football, and you guys know me a lot. I came up in this grind doing a lot of college football, and I loved it. But things evolve over the years where, you know, now that you're in a market where, hey, man, working like all the time, you got to take your shots. Because, again, I'm married, got a kid, got a family life. It can't be 7 days a week where, hey, I'll see you guys later. It just can't be that way. I have it structured right now where, you know, I work Monday through Friday, got the weekends off, can spend time with the wife, with the kid, got that nice life balance. And you see me, I tweet things out all the time where I'm enjoying myself, smoking cigars, getting in a hot tub, you know, having parties and hosting stuff and doing all that stuff. You have to have that separation. Because before it was just 7 days a week, all the time, always on. I still love college football. I'll watch it. But that's really like a family day because Sundays, nah. I'm waking up in the morning. I am locked into the NFL until that Sunday night football game, and then you rip, roar, and get after it. But the reason why I brought it up is it's so easy in NFL season. It's so easy to do content. It really is, and it's so much fun. Every single day, all you're doing is trying to line up wagers and what's going to happen this weekend and all of that good stuff. I love it. But also love this time because it separates like the men from the boys, right? Who can talk about what? Who can hold their own? And I love Major League Baseball, which is why we're going to hit that card. But just before we do that, we're going to get to the phone lines here. 844-843-6879. The X-Man is on the phone on a Tuesday afternoon edition of Moneyline. What's up, X-Man?
I love baseball, man. And I can hold my own with you, Danny.
I love it.
Well, I'm going with the Houston Astros on the money line. The Astros, the Cleveland Guardians on the money line. I got WNBA, the New York Liberty first half spread, and the Dallas Wings first half spread. 10-1.
First hit, 10-1. It's a way to get that week going here. I mean, I can't wait. By the way, X-Man, we dialed in here, coming up for the NFL soon. Are we waiting on the NFL, or is it just like, you know what? It's too much money on the table right now. Baseball, the WNBA. Yeah, I can't wait. I cannot wait, man.
I'm waiting on the Crawford and the Spence fight last week of July. I'm waiting on the NFL. Yep. I'm waiting on the college football week zero. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for whatever.
Now tell me about the NBA Summer League. I mean, can we get down on that too this year? Are you going to be locked in on that?
Yeah, watch out for Chet OKC, the rookie that didn't get to play last year. Watch out for him. He should be this year. OKC should make
Wemby
a splash in the NBA this year.
That's my guy, SGA, there. So, I mean, we'll be ready for that. But I agree, man. We're still looking forward to stuff. It's the dog days. And sometimes, like the wife and the kid, X-Man, they're always, hey, man, the summertime's here. You fast forward the summertime. I don't have that big of an issue with it, to be honest, man. September is like my favorite. Like September means we're in for a good couple months here, even though it gets colder up here in the Northeast.
Yeah, man. But you know what? We still got the MLB All-Star Game. We got the FIBA Basketball Championships coming up. Take the USA to win in the future.
Oh,
you know?
Let's go.
And I like Team Canada. They got Jamal Murray. Yep. They got a couple. Man, they loaded. Canada and USA should do their thing in the FIBA Classic.
I love it. Look at that. That man's locked in there. That's what we like. That's what we need on Tuesdays here in late June. When you guys locked in with stuff to look forward to with all the excitement. I love it. I love that stuff here. Let me keep the phone lines going here. Let's keep them open and have some fun talking to the people. 844-843-6879. Jordan from Phoenix is calling in. We're going to rally the Valley this year. You know it. Big things expected here. Free agency coming up. What's good, Jordan? Talk to me on a Tuesday here, brother.
What's good, Donnie? And we are going to rally the Valley. I just listened to Vogel's interview on Arizona Sports Radio. He said D.A. wants to keep him, so we'll see what role he's going to play here in Phoenix. And then I'm not sure if you've seen the there's another report saying a bunch of veterans want to come here, you know, like ring chase, I'm sure. Yeah. But who really knows? You know, we'll see what's going on. Hey, you hit a good point, though, Donnie. The Buffalo Bills taking a step back. Mm-hmm. I honestly started writing a big football report last night, man. And I honestly have the Bills going like 10-7, 9-8. I honestly see them. They could be battling for the wild card, maybe even looking outside in. You know, with like Miami. Miami, to me, if Tua can stay healthy, watch out for Miami. So, I like that. And then, man, how about those Mets last night, man? Oh, my gosh.
That would have been a nice little night there if the Mets just pulled it off. And the minute I saw, you know, Jordan, that, you know, Lindor got the RBI on the sac fly, I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, this is too good to be true. And I was like, okay, they're down 2-1 after six. They'll get another run. They couldn't do anything, man. The Mets just let me down big time yesterday. But that's what they've been doing the whole year.
Yes, it has. And then I almost wonder, what do you think? You think they, I mean, their owner is going to spend money. You know, we know the Mets want to spend. But, I mean, they're almost like 15 games out of the, like, division. So I'm almost like, what, like, there's really no point. What are they going to do? You know, Donnie, they're like, they're going backwards, in my opinion. So, want to touch those topics, you know, the drill, best show on the grid. And then I'll talk to you later today on Twitter, and I'll be talking to you tomorrow, my man.
Awesome. There we go. Jordan calling in from Phoenix there, checking in on a Tuesday right here. Yeah, there is. It's a lot. Come on, Mets. I mean, enough with that nonsense here. But I'm excited, too, because we are going to be through the summer, and we'll be paying a lot of attention to the NBA Summer League this summer. It's a lot of fun what they do. And Kevin and I stumbled a couple weeks ago talking about, when does the NFL do that? Competitive 7-on-7 league between teams. Doesn't have to be starters. Like Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to compete in that. But we would all watch. If you had live 7-on-7, played like a game or so, you know what I mean? Just like they do in the NBA Summer Leagues, we would watch. If there was betting lines, we would bet on it. Not to say I would. I don't really know how much of an edge or advantage that I would have at that point, but certainly would be something to get into here. All right, let's start the Major League Baseball card today. 15 overall games. We should have some money to get after and have some fun with here. Let's start with the weather forecast in a lot of cities. Still in the Northeast. Like, woke up this morning, and I'm in New Jersey. You know, I would probably say now, after moving last year, 25 minutes or so, maybe 30 minutes outside the city of Philadelphia, 40 minutes or so from Atlantic City. So almost like right in that middle area, per se. But we've been getting hit with so much rain over the past 2 weeks. Like, sprinkler system at my house, I haven't used that in like 2 weeks. For the past month before that, it seemed like it didn't rain at all. So we're getting caught up on a lot of this stuff. So still some lingering thunderstorms here. You know, on that East Coast. Now, Pittsburgh not really on the East Coast per se, but thunderstorms in the area tonight. 71 degrees at first pitch, wind blowing out to left field at 11 miles an hour. Going down to Baltimore, we saw they had a couple delays to start the game and the middle of that game. They're probably going to be starting maybe in a delay again tonight. 77 degree temperatures, a light wind blowing out to right field. But it looks like as the day goes longer, or the night goes longer, I should say, those rains start to clear out. Mets and the Brewers. That's from Citi Field in New York. Rain expected in the forecast, about 50% all night long. They'll probably play and get through it, but you might be dancing between the raindrops. 73 degrees at first pitch, 11 mile an hour winds blowing out to left field there. Here's an interesting one. The pitching matchup for me isn't all that advantageous, which we're going to get to in a little bit. But the Marlins and the Red Sox, 75 degrees at first pitch, precipitation, not really worried about that at all. Humidity in the high 80s by the time we get to around 9 o'clock, and the wind's blowing out over the Green Monster at 11 miles an hour. It's a shame the pitching matchups aren't a little bit better there. How about down for the Twins and the Braves? You got a good pitching matchup once again here. Stayed under the total yesterday with a 4-1 game. I don't know if we get 4-1 tonight, but 87 degrees at first pitch. Wind blowing dead to center field at 11 miles an hour. That's a hitting environment. We'll see if it translates there, but I do like the pitching matchups per se. Houston Astros and the St. Louis Cardinals at Busch Stadium. That's 86 degrees at first pitch. Light wind blowing in. So it may be inconsequential there, but that's a nice warm night out there in St. Louis. Tigers and the Rangers, as we know, is played in a dome. Phillies are going to be playing at the Cubs today. Wind blowing in at Wrigley today from left field at about 10 miles an hour. As the old saying goes, yes, you can still score runs if you hit singles and doubles. You don't always have to hit home runs. Guardians and the Royals, baking hot there in Kansas City, 88 degrees at first pitch. No worry about rain whatsoever. Also, no worry about rain in Chicago either. Clear night. Wind blowing, looks like in from right field at about 8 miles an hour there. Dodgers and the Rockies, this one could get interesting tonight. No precipitation in the forecast here, 87 degrees at first pitch in Colorado. A 12-mile-an-hour wind, but it's really blowing from left foul pole to right foul pole tonight. So not going to help or hurt per se, but a nice warm night in Colorado. Seabold's on the mound. You're expecting some damage, by the way, for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and rightfully so. Well, how about a team total at FanDuel this morning at 7.5? That's not the game. That's 7.5 for a team. You need 8 runs out of the Dodgers to cash that ticket in. Out on the West Coast in Los Angeles, typical weather, 69, 70 degrees at first pitch, light wind blowing out the center field. So some decent hitting conditions there for the Los Angeles Angels and the Chicago White Sox. And then also farther up into the Bay Area, the Yankees and the Oakland Athletics. Every day you could sort of set a clock to what those numbers would be in Oakland and San Francisco, usually in the high 50s, low 60s, wind blowing out. That's at about, what, 8-9 miles an hour there, but cooler conditions as typical there with Oakland at 62 degrees. The Tampa Bay Rays and the Arizona Diamondbacks, Bradley versus Gallen in that one, that's a good one. 9:40 start, it's at Chase, but as we know, that is a dome field here. After the break, we're going to have a quick segment there, as we typically do. We'll find out where JP is going with his wager. Find out what he did last night, but also there are 27 pitchers on this card today with a minimum of 10 innings pitched over the past 30 days. Let's line up some of those pitchers that we can fade. You got a couple of them down there at a 122 plus XFIP minus. Some high Sierra numbers out there. Guys you want to fade, guys you want to stay away from, we'll set the table next. Make sure you keep it right here to Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here, final segment of the first hour of Moneyline here. And that's for a Tuesday afternoon. Your boy Donnie Wrightside here on a solo mission. K-Dub will be back on Thursday, so that means Wednesday again we will be having solo status here. But let's have some fun and see what the deal is with JP. Now, last night, I believe, JP, did you go with an under?
Yeah, I went to that Tigers-Rangers game under.
Was it 9.5, 9, 8.5? What was that number?
9. It was just a push.
Yeah, so you got the push out of that one, which is interesting, because if you said to me the damage would have been done by Detroit, I would have been like, yeah, I don't think so at that point. And they got hammered, 7-2 in that game.
Four runs early, and I...
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, I'm done.
I thought the Rangers would actually, because I had a Josh Jung RBI. A guy stunk in that game. And you're talking about a decent pitcher that was on the mound, or at least to start the game for Detroit, gets hurt right away. So when you hear Detroit Tigers bullpen game coming, you're like, oh my goodness. So maybe formidable there. Lovely. You'll take that push. So we head into tonight, and I assume we're going back to the Major League Baseball card. It's a massive card tonight, JP.
Yeah, I'm going to the Major League Baseball. I'm going to take a team on the money line tonight.
Okay, so we're going to go money line. Now, there's a lot of games tonight. Let me set them up in order of when they start time-wise. So we'll go with this. Is this game going to be 7 o'clock hour or sooner, or 8 o'clock hour or later?
I'm going to have to give it it's before 8 p.m.
Before 8 p.m., okay. So that would mean yes. San Diego, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Baltimore, San Francisco, Toronto, Milwaukee, New York, Mets, Miami, Boston, Minnesota, Atlanta, Houston, and St. Louis. So it's kind of funny we look at that price because I like Atlanta tonight. It's a minus 158. I think they're going to win that game. But I got a feeling it's the last game that I just went over here. It either could be Milwaukee against the New York Mets because they stink right now, or could it possibly be just Houston to beat those putrid Redbirds in Cincinnati at a slight favorite price with a dominant starter in Framber Valdez on the mound. We'll talk about that and more coming up next in hour number two.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.